My name is Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
This is full of ice cream mix. It's got a nice color to it.
Hardworking men and women who earn an honest living doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs. For most of us, Coke comes ice cold in a can or bottle. In Pittsburgh, it comes out of an oven at 2,500 degrees. It's the real dirty thing. Coke is made by cooking coal.
Now I understand why the mask is key.
And coal is just another four-letter word for dirt. Then, how many oysters can an oyster shucker shuck?
Thousand.
Well, when that shucker is Suki, who's tonight's dirty girl, the answer is a lot.
If that doesn't make you dirty, I don't know what does.
And later, life can be a bed of roses.
No.
But not when you're in Pasadena, disassembling floats from the Tournament of Roses parade. The outsides of these things are covered with organic matter.
You sure these are oranges?
They were orange at one time.
Which, after a few weeks of sitting in a warehouse, organically turns into dust, mold, and general filth.
That's why I hate parades.
Oh, God.
That is scenic Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, over there. Pittsburgh is a steel town, has been for a long time. Now, you can't have steel without iron, and you can't have iron without coke, and you can't have coke without coal. Behind me is Shenango Incorporated. They make coke here. You know, coke. It's the real dirty thing.
This molten coke is being pushed out of a coke oven, the final product of a process that began hours ago with a mixture of different kinds of coal. Coke is carbonized coal. It's used in steel manufacturing because it burns hotter and longer than plain coal. I figured some clean clothes would be in order for my first day on the job. Besides, my regular work clothes were at the cleaners.
Oh, I'm looking for a guy named Tim. Tim is a breaker man, I'm told. I do not see Tim up there, which means Tim is probably down there somewhere in the dark.
This was the end of Tim's shift, so there was no coal on the conveyor belt. But I had a feeling the lower I went, the dirtier I would get.
You must be Tim.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. You're a breaker man?
I'm a breaker man.
What does that mean?
I crush coal.
You're a coal crusher?
Yes, I'm a coal crusher.
Where does the actual crushing happen?
It's above us. There's a hammer mill above us. It crushes the coal. Once it's crushed, it comes through here.
Uh-huh.
And goes up to the other building.
But as the breaker, your job once a shift is to just keep this area clean?
Yes.
Because I got to tell you, this area right now is not clean.
No.
how many times in a shift do you clean it?
At the very end when you're done running all your coal.
What are the tools of the trade?
This tool here you can use. It's a small rake. You pull the coal from underneath the tables onto the floor.
And what's it? This is a table?
Yes, it is.
All right, so you want this coal onto the floor?
Put that coal onto the floor, yes.
I can do that. What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to watch you.
Supervisor. Oh, yeah, this is a... Now I understand why the mask is key. Now, it would be bad to get anything caught in there, right?
It could take your arm off. You have to be very careful.
Good grief. You okay? You ever been hurt down here?
No.
Good. It's all right to push it through the other side, right?
Yes, it is.
So, Tim, how long you been doing this?
Almost 30 years. 30 years will be July.
30 years?
Yes, sir.
Good grief. How long are you going to do it?
Well, when my kids go to college, I might be doing it for a long more time.
What are your kids' names?
Michael and Daniel.
How old are Michael and Daniel?
Michael's 15, Daniel's 11.
Michael, Daniel, what the old man's doing? For crying out loud, go to school. So, Tim, how many steps are there actually in this whole Coke-making process?
How many steps?
Yeah.
Oh, numerous. This is just the first step.
You're on the front line.
We're
cutting edge. Without us down here with these shovels, you can't get the coke.
Right. Without the coal, you won't get the coke.
Right. And without the coke, you can't get the iron.
That's correct.
And without the iron, you can't make the steel.
That's right.
All right. It might look like we're shoveling dust, but really we're building bridges and railroads and such. Right?
Yeah, right. I never quite thought of it that way.
Yeah. So tell me again, Tim, where all this goes?
This coal goes up C5 to the mixer building.
To the mixer building?
Yes, sir.
And where is the mixer building exactly?
You have to go up these steps.
Yeah.
Out the door.
Uh-huh.
Look for the big gray cement building right in front of you.
The nice, clean building?
Yeah, yes, it's nice and clean.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
It was a pleasure to meet you.
I'll leave you to your work.
Thank you.
Mixer building. How hard can that be to find? Tim works in about half a dozen different hell holes, just like this one. They're all connected by these conveyor belts that run all over the place. This one leads up to the top of the mixing building, which is where I'm headed now.
At the lower level of the mixing building, guess what? Another conveyor belt.
You Bob?
Yes, I am.
Bob, Tim sends his regards. You're a mixer man, huh?
Yeah.
And this is a mixing man station? Where am I exactly?
This is C-10 galley.
C-10 galley. Yeah. I was just where? C-5 galley?
C-5.
Now, C-5 galley was about two stories underground. We seem to be up in the air.
Yeah, this sends the coal right up to the coke battery, to the coke oven bins.
Oh, okay. So I'm basically working my way closer to the coke, which in this case is
all
to
the
top of that
yeah.
thing. As the mixer man, what is your job exactly?
Well, I mix four coals together and send them up to the coke battery.
Okay, so where do the different types of coal come from?
Tim sends it to me from over to hammer mill.
All right, so Tim is sending you coal being broken up in the hammer mill. What are we going to be doing here?
We're going to be cleaning off these tables. We have to keep the tables clean so the rollers roll good.
I'm just a simple guy, but it seems to me at a glance that the mixer man's job and the breaker man's job, well, there's a certain similarity.
Right.
You might even say they're identical.
Yeah, pretty much.
Coming up, I learned that there actually are a few differences between a breaker man and a mixer man, and one big thing in common, lots and lots of coal dust. Then,
Bud?
Bill. Suki the shucker tells me that every oyster has a butt and a bill.
Why not this side?
Because that's the wrong side.
I'm just not sure which is which.
Here?
Wrong way.
And later.
It rained this year, didn't it? So a lot of those floats are soaked with water that's over a month old now.
Those Rose Parade floats are bad enough when they're dry. This year, they got wet.
That's just disgusting.
So basically, the mixer man's job is to pick up the dust that falls off the conveyor belt as a result of transporting mixed coal, whereas the breaker man's job is to pick up the dust that falls off the conveyor belt as a result of breaking up unmixed coal. There's a difference. So once again, the coal dust from this galley goes onto another conveyor belt and runs all the way to the top of that coal bunker where it's dumped in. What's that? You've never been in a coal bunker. Neither have I.
And because the heat, moving parts, and tight spaces make it too dangerous in there, I never will. This coal bunker is 12 stories high and towers above a row of coke ovens called a battery. I'm actually walking on top of the coke ovens right now. Coal from the bunker is dropped into bins in this machine behind me, and it feeds mixed coal into the ovens.
So this is Jeff, and Jeff, you're the lid man?
Top utility.
top utility, and what's this giant thing to your left?
It's a Larry car.
And what's a Larry car do?
Drops the coal into the ovens.
Okay, so the battery that we're standing on now is essentially holding how many different ovens?
There's 62.
So these things down here look like manhole covers.
Correct.
That's essentially how the coal's going to get dumped in.
Right.
And that's what that guy's going to do.
Right.
Who's that?
His name's Sam.
Sam. Say hi to Sam. He runs a Larry car. By the way, why is it called a Larry car?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Why didn't it call it a Sam car?
That's all.
Okay.
So what we're going to see now is that lid pulled off over there.
The Larry car picks up the metal lid with a magnet. Then it moves back, drops the lid, and positions a chute over the oven, and then proceeds to drop 20 tons of coal into the oven below. After the coal is dumped, Sam replaces the lid. Then, the lid man's work begins.
All you gotta do is tap on that one. I'll grab the lid sealer.
Yeah, you grab the seal, I'll tap.
Perfect.
Okay.
Well, you'll take the lid sealer.
This is called lid sealer?
Yes.
All right.
And just go around this.
What is it exactly?
Clay.
And the purpose of this is just to form a temporary bond?
Right, it seals it so none of the smoke comes out. Carbon monoxide, stuff you don't want to breathe.
Yeah, stuff I shouldn't be standing over.
Right.
Well, if you've never seen the inside of a coke oven before, this is a unique opportunity. Jeff, pull that thing off there for me. This is oven number, where are we, like 22?
Yes, this is number 22.
22. Wow. That's got to be 2,400, 2,500 degrees. So what am I looking at in there?
So that's actually coke. This oven is about to be pushed.
Each of the coke ovens is 13 and a half feet high and 14 feet deep. After 18 hours of baking in these ovens, the coal becomes coke, and the giant pusher machine goes into action. The doors on both sides of the oven are removed, so the coke can be pushed through into a special railroad car. The pusher machine is operated by, yes, the coke pusher.
You're Eli. Eli, how are you, man? Now, what are you going to do in here?
I'm going to push out the coke.
Go ahead. I know you're on a schedule. We're,
Okay, Don Hegg.
Low six. Stay out of the way at this point. So what's this thing called that's moving right now, Eli?
That's the ram.
The rail?
The ram.
The ram. All right. Yes. So you're literally ramming this coke on this end of that oven.
Right.
And pushing it through the other side?
That's correct.
It's like making sausage.
Okay, John, here it comes.
20 tons of coal goes in, 17 tons of coke comes out.
Now back in that tunnel, you can see that the coke is being pushed out of the oven. It's falling into a hot car. The hot car is going to bring the coke, which is right now at about 2,400 degrees, straight down this track where 5,000 gallons of water are going to be dumped on it. That process cools the coke down, thereby keeping it from turning into ash. So every time the coke is pushed through the oven, it's dragged to the end of the tunnel, and we have some steam. So after the coke is cooled down, it's brought here to the wharf and kind of dumped, and that's where Chris comes in. You're a what?
I'm a wharfman.
A wharfman. So we met Breakerman and Mixer?
Mixman.
Met a lid man and Eli the coke pusher. You're the wharfman, and what does that mean exactly?
What I do is I pull these gates back and I let this coke down onto this belt right here. And from there it goes into the screening station and it gets separated, the small stuff.
Show me how you do what you do.
Well,
You do. You put your foot on the back. Use your body weight a little bit.
Gotcha.
There you go.
So, that's the way it goes. The Coke is fed onto a conveyor belt, then onto a shaker, which separates it by size. Then, another conveyor belt feeds it into train cars called the Coke Express. This goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No breaks.
So the Coke Express is made out of steel, but it's full of coke. It's headed to a steel yard where the coke will be used to help make the steel that will make the Coke Express. So what came first, the coke or the Coke Express? Who cares?
Coming up, I learned that oyster shucking can be used as anger management.
Sometimes I have to get mad at it.
Sometimes you get mad at it.
And later, I get under a Rose Parade float. They got wheels and an engine, but they're not crash tested, and I learn why.
Airbags?
No airbags.
Safety restraint system?
No.
No.
Nothing.
Welcome to the Oyster Shucking House at Taylor Shellfish Farms in Shelton, Washington. It's loud here. It's also cold. And it's where we find tonight's dirty girl. You must be Suki.
Yes, I am. How are you, Mike?
I'm all right. They tell me you're a very dirty girl.
Yes, I am.
Well, you're getting the oysters out of the shells, and we should show people straight off. If that doesn't make you dirty, I don't know what does. How long have you been doing this?
18 years, Mike.
18 years?
18 years.
Right here?
Right here.
You must be exhausted.
Yes, I do.
I want people to learn tonight how to get the meat out of one of these things, and I want you to do it real slow so I can learn with you.
Okay. I just put my knife in it inside.
You find an opening and exploit it.
And the muscle is about right here, not right here. It's right here. Then I slam.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I have to get mad at it before it opens.
You say sometimes you got to get mad?
I have to be mad.
Sometimes you get mad at it. Look at that. Good grief. That thing looks like a lung. Where'd this oyster come from?
Somewhere out there. I forgot.
These oysters came from heaven.
Yeah, came from heaven.
All right. Can I touch this thing?
Yes, sir, you can.
All right. The oysters up here come pretty big. This thing looks like an egg over easy. And I was paying pretty close attention. It looks like all you're doing is finding a hole that's already there and then getting the knife in it.
This side.
This side?
Yes.
Why not this side?
That's not the wrong side.
Because it's the wrong side.
Wrong way.
I don't understand. Here?
Wrong. I call for myself.
Don't poke yourself in the chest with the knife. You need to stop doing that. Okay. It makes this very nervous.
Me?
Yeah?
I call this is butt. Butt?
Butt?
Bill?
Bill. So you shove the knife in the oyster's butt.
No.
These things are like mysteries. Each one is like a fortune cookie. Except that, you know, a fortune cookie with snot in it. I'm not leaving until I understand how it is you can look at this thing and know exactly where to put the knife.
I always tell my student when I train them, this is the right side. The way it's the right side is pretend that you are laying down. If it's wrong, yeah, laying down.
I'm laying down.
Yeah, it's flat, laying down.
Right.
If it's wrong side,
right.
That's how it looks like.
It'd be very, right, it'd be much harder to open it from the
right. Yeah, you cannot open the wrong side.
Right.
So you have to open the right side. So
okay.
I hold the oyster up, and I twist both hands, both wrists, go different direction. You dance with it.
You got to dance with the oyster?
You dance with the oyster.
All right, I'm going to say the thick part of the oyster is right here. Or here. Or it could be here.
Yes, yes. You're
which
not
means
fast. You want to clear that. Yes.
Clear all
yes
that. Yes.
There
ah.
We go.
There we go. That's perfect. Dave Barsky, ladies and gentlemen. Always there for a tight shot. Boy, ain't right. I wasn't quite done with it. Well, you sucked it off your camera. Sorry you had to see that. How many of these do you do in a day during a shift?
Thousand of oysters.
How do you get paid, if you don't mind me asking?
Piecework, by pound, 50 cents per pound. This may be like a 16 pound, have to weigh 16 pounds.
So this is about a nickel?
Yes.
Do you have kids?
I have 3 kids.
What are their names?
First name, Donnie. Second, Danny.
Uh-huh.
My little one is Bobby.
Donnie, Danny, and Bobby. And they know how hard their mother works?
Kind of, yes.
Donnie, Danny, and Bobby, look real close. This is what your mom is doing every day, just for you. So listen to your mother.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, you didn't cut all the muscle, and you go...
I'm very angry, Suki. I'm very angry.
You killed it.
Come on,
four
it was already
oysters.
Dead. 1, 2, 3, 4, and there's 5.
I go along with you. Yeah. Hey, I'm impressed. Look at that.
She's impressed. Yeah. You heard it. Who's the best student you've had all day?
You.
That's right. Who's the best student you've had all week?
Him.
He ain't so tough. Anybody can open an oyster, but doing it right is an absolute art. It requires coordination, tons of experience, hours of practice. Nobody does it better than Suki.
Hi, my name is Suki. I'm an oyster shucker and I'm a dirty girl.
Suki.
Yes, Mike.
Give me a kiss. Oh!
Coming up, Rose Parade floats are the worst of both worlds.
Who hates parades?
I do.
Rotting flowers and plants on the outside. Wood, steel, and wire mesh underneath.
Nice floats are diabolical.
Ten years ago, I was the victim of a horrible circumstance. I was living in New York City, trying to drive home for the Thanksgiving holiday. And like many others, I became hopelessly ensnarled in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It was traumatic. I sat there, sandwiched between two giant floats, while my car slowly ran out of gas. Today, I'll have my revenge. Welcome to my nightmare.
Based in the heart of Pasadena, California, the Phoenix Decorating Company has been building and rolling out floats for the Tournament of Roses Parade for the past 50 years.
Oh, dirty.
Oh. Maybe it's just me, but Sean, do other people have an irrational fear of floats?
You might say that.
This is Sean, and he's the production manager at Phoenix Decorating Company. You guys are responsible for a lot of the floats in the Rose Bowl Parade.
We do about 20 to 25 every year.
It rained this year, didn't it? It rained hard.
Yep.
So a lot of those floats are here in this warehouse. They're soaked with water that's over a month old now. And all that rotten, stinking fruit and vegetation has just been putrefying. And we got to clean it up.
It's good stuff.
That's a dirty job.
Very dirty.
Remember, every float in the parade has to be covered with material that's organic. Flowers and fruit are organic. And at first, they look and smell very nice. But after sitting in a warehouse for a couple of months, this is what organic stuff starts to look like. And as far as the smell, you'll just have to trust me. Floats, of course, don't really float. They're propelled forward by an engine and ultimately driven by let's call him a float driver. This is a J, and this is what the inside of a float looks like. Is this typical?
Yes, it is, sir.
And with the exception of the steering wheel, it really doesn't look at all like what I was expecting. Airbags?
No airbags.
Safety restraint system?
No.
No?
Nothing.
How do you know where you're going?
The person that sits up in the front of the float looks out a little hole and tells you left, right, stop, slow down.
This is another reason why I hate floats.
Every float has a spotter. The spotter usually sits up front in a cramped and nasty little hole, staring out at the world through a tiny piece of screen mesh. The spotter's job is very important. Without him, the float could run amok.
You're basically sitting inside the engine.
Yes, sir. Got the tires here, motor right on the other side here, your transmission's right next to you. This runs a lot of the over heights, meaning the float's built over a certain height, and we cannot get out of the building unless we lower it down. We can't go under bridges.
There must be a whole list of garages you can't park in.
No.
What's top speed in a float like this?
Float normally is 5 miles an hour through the parade.
5 miles, but if you really wanted to get it out and open it up?
Sure, you'd do 30, 40.
40 miles an hour in a
sure.
float? Like that scene in Animal House.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome. I'm dying to wreck something.
Sure, let's go tear something up.
Good. What's this thing, Jay? Like an Ibex or something?
A gazelle.
A gazelle? All right. And the gazelle's got to go. What do? Is he steel, too?
He's got pencil steel, which, like you see here,
uh-huh.
the shape of the body, but from the legs up, you've got pipe coming up through the legs. So the basic idea would be to cut it off right at the legs.
Because this stuff that's under here, these edges are like razors when you cut
razor
them with the
blades.
Bowl cutters.
You cut them with the bowl cutters, it pinches it to a point,
right.
and it will cut you good.
After all I've been through, I don't want to get killed by a float.
No, you don't. One more.
One to go.
Dig into it, loosen it up, and start peeling it back. Gets glued pretty good.
Yeah. See, we're not allowed to do this with real animals on the show.
No. Getting a lot of trouble doing that.
Yeah, but not here. All part of the job. I'll bet you $100 somebody sends me an angry letter for killing a fake gazelle. Cut her head off first.
I'll cut the belly.
Yep.
The legs.
Cutting the head off a fake gazelle. She's a beaut. This one we're gonna save. Replenish the herd. Coming up.
This is called a flex bone, and we can iron it, cut it, shape it to whatever we want.
I discover a fresh hell called flex foam.
It's like rubber concrete.
Exactly.
The only one doing any flexing is me.
Come on. It's foam.
Floats are really very deceptive things. On the one hand, they look like these big, puffy little marshmallows that just roll down the street, held together with Kleenex and spit. But in reality, it's a lot of steel, a lot of chicken wire, a lot of mesh, and a great big giant engine. I'm lying in smelly, rotten vegetation, pulling a Rose Bowl float apart piece by piece. So I got that going for me.
This year, Phoenix Decorating Company used 20 million flowers and 16 tons of organic goods to decorate 22 floats.
Fake. Look at this. Rotten jicama. It's everywhere. Anywhere you see white is mold?
Yes, sir.
I don't even know what jicama is, but it stinks. Over 3 million roses were used in the Rose Bowl parade, and this is one of the best jobs here at the palace. It involves taking these vials that kept the roses alive individually. Roses, of course, are dead now, so you just pluck out the dead rose and throw that away, and then you pop the top off the little vial, and then you dump the nasty fetid water into a bucket, and then you find the corresponding bucket that holds the appropriate sized vial and make the correct deposit. If you're wondering just how bad water like this smells, you can pretty much imagine.
It takes 20 men a couple of months to build one of these floats. It takes 6 men about a day and a half to take one apart. That's what I'm talking about.
This is called a flex foam, and we can iron it, cut it, shape it to whatever we want, and glue it to the float, and that's how you get this rock where it looks like it's a natural rock. When you hit it with the pick, it will bounce back.
It's like rubber concrete.
Exactly.
See that? Look at that. Flex foam. You stand there as long as you like. It'll be exciting for you. Come on. It's foam. These floats are diabolical. Some floats have a fairy tale theme. I don't know what's going on here. This looks like a pig, and that looks like it's maybe a mouse. This is some sort of wolf serving a chicken. Not all fairy tales have happy endings. Party's over. John, that's just disgusting.
That's good stuff, typical.
What is it, rotten limes?
Well, you like orange juice, don't you?
Why are the floats decorated with food?
Well, Tournament of Roses and the Rose Parade says that everything has to be covered with an organic vegetable material.
Why?
That's the tradition.
Tradition, schmission. You're covering styrofoam with fruit. It's rotten, it stinks, there are gnats everywhere. That's mold. I mean, aren't we in violation of some basic state codes or something?
More than likely.
You made 22 of the 50-some-odd floats that were in the parade. They're all covered with just this giant rotten garden now. What kind of flowers are these?
Carnations.
All right, so these flowers are dead. These limes, or oranges. You sure these are oranges? Because they look green. Oh, they were orange.
They were orange at one time.
Forgive me for being dense. Of course. They were oranges, but now they're rotten, so they've turned green and look like limes. And now they're covered with mold and maggots and all sorts of little fruit flies.
Yep.
The process by which we remove this? Thanks. Who hates parades? I do.
That's dirty.
You've got to have a better tool. I mean, come on, all I'm doing is making orange juice here, I think, and getting black lung. I'm pretty sure this is bad for me, mainly. And we're in this enclosed warehouse, and you can see the particulate in the air. I'm going to be dead before the end of the segment.
You'll be all right, Mike.
Yeah, I'll be great. You know why? Because I got my hammer. I'm here with state-of-the-art technology.
You can hit some of those particles.
Oh, yeah, sure. I can knock all the particles out of my lungs. I'll be fine.
There's some good stuff.
Oh, what happened down here? Yeah, look at that. It's like somebody went insane with a juicer. That's why I hate parades. Rose Bowl, granddaddy of all parades. It's so glamorous and exciting. See all the pretty floats, all the fantastic colors. Okay, not gonna throw up. No vomiting. Don't throw up on the float. That would be rude. Why don't you guys make a vomit float next year? That'd be great. Tournament of puke. Dude, this is insane. This is insane. What you have right here may be illegal, certainly immoral, probably just categorically wrong. Have you seen the show? The Dirty Job show?
Seen it once or twice.
See, typically what we do on the show, and it's a fantastic device, if I don't say so myself, I assist people in a dirty job. I assist them. Now, if I'm not really assisting anyone, I'm pretty much just doing it alone. It changes the dynamic of the show. What I'm suggesting...
No, it'd be dirty job.
That'd be dirty job, exactly. So if there is another hammer in this giant warehouse full of tools, perhaps you could locate it and hop up here with me. What do you say?
I think we could do that.
Go ahead. You take your time. I'm sure it'll turn up.
I'll be back in a couple hours.
Coming up... In the world of Rose Parade floats, a working pirate ship is normal.
This is the vortex of all the movement and commotion that's going on the float. It's like a cockpit. There's a lot of things going on here.
And sweeping the floor is abnormal.
And if you use a regular broom handle, it's going to break.
This is nothing more than a squeegee made out of iron.
It's just a couple of jolly float makers.
Wait, oh, the magic hammer?
This is the magic hammer.
I'm not going to invite you up to your own float.
All right, we're coming.
Where have you been? Yeah. That's a good tool right there.
Only got about 100 feet more to go.
And this is just one float. You haven't even started cutting and soldering and all that stuff yet.
Not yet.
I just didn't know. I didn't know all the floats were covered with food. Who would know? Here we have a dolphin with wings. Dolphins should not have wings. Flying fish. The outside of a float gives you the creeps. Check out the inside. This one happens to be a pirate ship. There were 54 floats, by the way, at the Rose Bowl parade this year. No two of them the same. And inside, well, one look speaks for itself. It's like Rube Goldberg and a science project got together and went horribly wrong. Wires everywhere, hydraulics, cylinders firing CO2. Fake cannons hooked up to devices I can't fully comprehend. That's a generator. That's another generator, I'm sure of that. And up here is a Chevy V8 engine designed to propel the galleon along the parade route. Naturally, the folks here at Phoenix Decorating have assured me that all of this comes together in a way that will guarantee the float does not run amok. Well, some of these floats are more complicated than others, and I got to think the pirate ship is... as complicated as anything I've ever seen. This is Mike, and Mike, what the hell?
About the most complicated one I've ever been involved with myself.
This is not the driving spot. The driver's down there, the spotter's down front.
Absolutely. This is the vortex of all the movement and commotion that's going on the float.
It's like a cockpit. You're like a pilot out
Yeah,
here.
It is. There's a lot of things going on here. This is operations for the CO2, is timing everything out in conjunction with the hydraulics, so you get a boom. That cannon retracts, CO2 blasts out just at the right time, so it looks like it's really happening, and then goes ahead and centers itself again.
So the next step here is we got to get all this trash out of the way. And the reason why we got to use this big metal thing here is that if you use a regular broom handle, it's going to break.
This is nothing more than a squeegee made out of iron.
It's a glorified push broom. Yeah!
couple of jolly float makers.
Look out, Mike, you're coming through.
Jesus.
Sweeping up hunks of metal and steel. That's a dirty job. These things are called people holders. The parade performance artist will stand in the people holder, strap him or herself in, and then wave to the crowd. I got a harness on here, so it's safe, in case the float should run amok. The only thing of value on an old float is the metal skeleton. So after they strip off all the rotten fruit and flowers, they cut the leftovers into these 3 and 4 foot long pieces of steel, throw them in a dumpster, and sell them to a scrap metal yard. A fitting ending. So, we've stripped it, skinned it, gutted it, and now I'm cutting its skeleton into little pieces. It'll be back, though, resurrected from the dead a year from now to haunt my dreams again. Well, as days go, this was a weird one. I survived the dinosaur attack. I skinned a gazelle, and I lifted an elephant straight up in the air. Now I'm climbing onto a giant bedspread made of rotten fruit and dead flowers. Could be worse, I suppose. Could be alone.
Hey, dirty jobs are all over the place. You just have to be willing to dig a little bit to find them. So if you know something I should know, do me a favor. Go to discovery.com/dirty jobs and tell us all about it. If it sounds like fun, I'll come out. You and I will get dirty together. Ow.
Yeah, I'm king of the world. Whip the frickin' do. They brought me a nice little thing to sit on, and this was in it.
I blew the whole gag.
Yeah, sit down, Mike. Relax.
Take it easy.
It's just a small needle that goes in your ass, really.
Get the point?
Maybe we finish on Friday.
On Friday?
This guy gonna finish maybe 30 minutes. We're gonna finish Friday.